Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that he didn't?
But he takes you back to the potter's wheel and molds us and makes us into what he wants us to be. I'm glad I'm willing to go, aren't you? You don't always feel good, but I want to always be willing to go. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church today. Praise the Lord. Good hand clap of praise this morning. He's worthy, isn't he? Somebody say he's worthy. Praise the Lord. Well, we had a great time here last night. Haven't you enjoyed the word of the Lord? It wasn't shouting time, but it was measuring up time, wasn't it? Amen. If we'll apply what we heard here last night, I promise you we'll all be better men, better women, boys and girls. Praise the Lord. Well, today's Sunday, and glad to have you in the church here with us today. Some maybe didn't set their clocks ahead an hour. Maybe they'll show up here just in a little while. But we're glad that the Lord has let us have this privilege once again to enter into his sanctuary, to give him worship and praise today. You know, you're called to be a worshiper. Amen. You're called to praise and magnify the Lord. I don't mind doing it at all. I love to do it. How about you? Amen. Amen. I want to let you be seated just for a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Jamie Hayton wants us to remember a very special unspoken prayer request that he would like for the church to help him pray about. The Lord knows all about the need. We just commit it to the Lord. Want to pray for Robbie and Olivia Dixon. They're both at home sick this morning. Need a touch from the Lord. Want to pray for Brother Eddie Yance. He was discharged from the hospital yesterday and is back in the emergency room this morning. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Eddie. The Lord just touch him. I know he's really struggling with his health here lately. So let's pray for our brother that the Lord would just help him. Want to pray for Mark McGarry, his mother. She's having heart problems. Let's just commit that to the Lord. His mother, as we pray today, Sister Ruth Ann Yance, sick with a virus, and there's just a tremendous amount of people that's got respiratory infections, flu, and all this other stuff that's going around. So let's pray for our church family that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Brother Samuel Shuffler wants us to remember his mother in prayer. She's been in and out of the hospital, doesn't have a good appetite, suffering from high blood pressure and diabetes. Also, she's a smoker, so they're just asking that we would pray for her, that the Lord would be mindful of her. Brother Jose Manley wants us to pray for Sister Elizabeth. She's going to be traveling to Nebraska, and he's just asking that we would pray that God would give her traveling mercies and be with her while she's away. I want to request prayer for Greg Scott this morning, has stage 4 cancer. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Then I have a card here from my brother Bob Blevins. He and May are here in the service with us today. Somebody say praise the Lord for that. Amen. This card says, thank you so much for my visit, for the visitations, the cards, and the goodie basket. Thank you most of all for the prayers that were sent up on my behalf. So far, my recovery has been great, and I thank God for that. Love to all, Bob Blevins. So we praise the Lord for that. Also, Brother Daniel Nunley, he's back in the service with us today, recovering from surgery. Thank the Lord for that. So we just praise God for letting these folks be back in the house of the Lord with us. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Could we stand as we get ready to pray? Let's just sing that little chorus together one more time. Brother Harry, if you want to, sing us a verse of that song. Then we'll do the chorus, and then we'll pray over these needs today. Isn't it good to be a Christian this morning? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. God bless you. Brother Harry, sing that verse.
He is the potter. I am the clay, molded in his image. It's how he wants me to stay.
Oh, yes, it is.
But when I stumble and I fall and my vessel breaks, he just picks up the broken pieces. He doesn't throw.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Daniel, while you're this close to the platform, just come on up here and lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning. Appreciate Brother Daniel Nunley, don't we? Amen. Let's invite the presence of the Lord into this service. Pray over these prayer requests. God bless you.
Amen. Good to be back in church again. You know, you sit at home and you listen to it over the internet, but it's not like being in service. And many times, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd be awake and I'd try to think of the people in the church that need prayer and try to call your name out to God. But you know, I'm glad that he's mindful of us. That he said he'll never leave us, never forsake us. We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Let's pray together over these requests. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in this service again today. Thank you that you let us live on this side of Calvary. Thank you for the blood that was shed for our sins, for your stripes whereby we are healed. God, today we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne. God, if you have a need this morning, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll stretch forth your hand and move. God, I pray for our church. God, that you'll help us as a body that will be strong. Pray for our pastor, Brother Don. God, that you'll continue to touch his body. God, we pray for the servant today. Lord, that you'll anoint his words. Help us to be able to receive them. God, we pray for those over the internet and tapes that you'll move for them, Jesus. Every part of this service, the song service, every bit of it, I pray that you'll lead it by your spirit. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service, I pray it'll be a blessing to them. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in church this morning? Now, I know it's an hour earlier for a lot of us, but we will get adjusted to this time. It's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. I'm talking about a church in the book of Revelation. It's built on the rock. Got a firm foundation.
It's been through the flood and it's been through the fire, but one of these days that church's gonna move up higher. It's the church triumphant, oh Lord, and it's built by the hand of the Lord. I'm talking about a church in the book of Revelation. It's built on the rock, got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood and been through the fire, but one of these days that church is gonna move up higher. It's the church triumphant, oh Lord, and it's built by the hand of the Lord.
It's the old ship of Zion. It's the home for the lost and dying. It's the soul saving station. It's the joy of my salvation. Well, it's the church triumphant, oh Lord, and it's built,
yes, it is,
by the hand of the Lord.
I want you to sing it. I'm talking about a church in the book of Revelation. It's built on the rock. It's got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood and been through the fire, but one of these days that church is gonna move up higher. It's a church triumphant, oh Lord,
and it's built
by the hand of the Lord.
It's been through the flood, but the flood couldn't harm it. It's been through the fire, but the fire couldn't burn it. Been fed to the lion, but the lions couldn't eat it. Fought a lot of wars, but never defeated.
Hallelujah.
Well, it's the church triumphant, oh Lord, and it's built by the hand of the Lord.
Well, I'm talking about a church in the book of Revelation. It's built on the rock. It's got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood and been through the fire. But one of these days, that church is gonna move up higher. It's a church triumphant, oh Lord,
and
it's built by the hand of the Lord.
It's been the flood.
Hallelujah.
But the flood couldn't harm
it.
She's been through the fire,
yes,
but the fire couldn't burn it. They fed it to the lions, but the lions,
hallelujah,
couldn't eat it. Fought a lot of wars.
Yes, it has.
But never defeated.
We're led by an undefeated leader.
Cause it's the church triumphant.
Aren't you glad you're part of it?
Oh Lord, and it's built by the hand of the Lord.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about a church in the book of Revelation. It's built on the rock. It's got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood and been through the fire. But one of these days, that church is gonna move up higher. It's a church triumphant, oh Lord,
and
it's built by the hand of the Lord.
Been through the fire, but the fire couldn't burn it. Been fed to the lions, but the lions couldn't eat it. Fought a lot of wars, but never defeated. Well, the church.
Thank you, Lord.
Triumphant, O Lord, and it's built by the hand of the Lord.
Well, I'm talking about a church in the book of Revelation. It's built on the rock. It's got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood and been through the fire. But one of these days, that church is gonna move up higher. It's a church triumphant, O Lord, and it's built by the hand of the Lord.
Yes, it's the church.
I'm in this church. Sing it with me. I'm in this church.
It's a glorious church. I didn't join. I was born.
Sing it.
I had a new birth. Some glorious day.
Oh, we're gonna celebrate.
By His grace, I'm by my works. I'm in this church.
Well, I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. I did not join. I was born. I've had a new birth.
Some glorious day. I'm going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works.
We're in this church. I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. I did not join. I was born. I had a new birth. Some glorious day, we're going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church.
When Jesus came, He was left out. There was no place where He was welcome here on earth. But He had a plan.
Oh, yes, He did.
For a house that shall forever stand. He spoke these words upon this rock. I build my church.
Oh, I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. I did not join. I was born. I've had a new birth.
Some glorious day. I'm going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works.
I'm in this church. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you are? Aren't you glad you are? Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We'll have a couple of songs. Then Brother John LaFontaine, so glad to have our pastor back in service with us today. Praise the Lord. Battling the flu and just but the Lord's bringing him along. And I feel sorry for the devil, don't you? Because he's in for a beating, I'm sure. Amen. Sister Lisa, why don't you come give us a song this morning? Then the brethren that's going to play a song, if you're not already on the platform, if you'll come to the platform and be getting ready while Sister Lisa sings for us. Give the singers a nice hand this morning, if you will.
she came through the shame that flushed her face. Till at last she knelt before his feet. And though she said no words, everything she said was heard as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster. I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. I'll wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love. Help me.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm just happy to be in church today.
Amen.
If you ain't been sick, you're not really, really happy to be in church. But if you've been sick and worry and all that sort of thing and ain't been able to be in church, you're really happy to be in church. Amen. So appreciate the word last night, didn't we? Brother John just really... I appreciate streaming, but I'd hate to think I was a streamer. You just miss so much. It's just amazing to me that you can see some of the same faces, the same pulpit, same musicians, same preacher, but it's like it's worlds apart. God bless you. We're so happy to be together today. I think Brother John's going to sing for us, maybe, if he can sing one before he preaches for us. So appreciate him coming. Would you let you be seated while he's... I'll sing one for us.
Amen. I couldn't hear him over there. I'm hard of hearing and I didn't know he was calling for me, so forgive me. He asked me if my monitor was good last night and I said it was fine, but over there it wasn't fine. It wasn't there, but I appreciate Brother Donnie so much. I've learned to love him through the years and appreciate him more and more all the time for his stand and for his dedication and for his love for the Lord and for this message and for you. And I know that he cares about you very much. And so you need to pray for the man of God. It's always Satan's desire to get that man out of the way so he can hinder your life and the bride of Christ. So we want to pray for Brother Donnie, and God will just touch him. And he's been very sick. And also, so many of you, how many have had the flu or feel like you've got it now? Let me see your hands. Well, a few. That's not too bad then. But I wanted so bad to come out last night and greet you all back there, but I was afraid. I'm just being honest. I don't want your crud. I don't want your flu. I don't want it. So to all of you, God bless you. And if I do happen to show up back there, don't shake my hand. We'll just do the elbow, you know, or the touch. But we've had enough of that over our way through the winter months here. So we just don't want to catch something and take it back. That's for sure. Cause it's not a good thing. I wonder, Brother Harry, brothers, if we could just maybe the key of G. I don't know. I'm not the singer in the family. You know that. I got the big mouth. They got the talent. You know, they're the ones that do all the pretty stuff with it and everything. But I'll get to, you brothers can help me with this. I want to get to the chorus if you want to. I just simple. I feel the touch of hands so warm and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me, and I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
So let the storms rage high, those dark clouds rise. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me,
hallelujah,
and not a bird shall harm me.
Morning. Why don't you slip your hand up to him and just thank him and say, Lord, we thank you for that shelter today. Thank you for that protection, God, and for what it means to us, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Yes, Lord.
Soon I shall hear that call from heaven's portal. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must go.
Hallelujah!
I'll fall asleep and I'll wake in God's new heaven.
Yes, Lord.
Sheltered,
now.
So let the storms rage high, those are dark clouds rise.
They won't
worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me.
And I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. I don't regret one time I have trusted in His word. I've seen the years go by many days without a song, but I don't regret a mile I have traveled for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't regret a mile, church. Been a lot of places, seen a lot of faces. Crisscrossed this country and Canada and a few different foreign countries, but I don't regret one mile. I'm so thankful for His leadership. I'd like you to turn with me this morning, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 11. We'll read our text together and then let you be seated. Acts, the 11th chapter, and I want to begin reading at verse 19. On down a little bit and just draw a little thought from this morning. Thank you, brother. Acts 11, verse 19 said, Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great multitudes believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come now, changing the order of the service, breaking bread together, Lord, opening your word, trusting, dear Lamb of God, that you will speak to our hearts. For, Lord, we can do nothing without you, Father. We're helpless. Unless you would come, Lord, and build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Lord, we're depending on you this morning because we know you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, Lord, we speak, and you said your word would not return unto you void, Lord. So, God, we just speak as though it were the oracles of God this morning. Have your preeminence. Meet every need. Touch every sick person, Lord, in this building, that are at home, Lord, watching by the Internet, Lord, that are sick in bed, wherever they might be this morning. Touch them and heal them and deliver them and bring them, Lord, back to the house of God safely. Grant it, Lord, we pray. Bless Brother Donnie, Lord, a gallant soldier of God. Touch his body. Completely heal him and make him well, Lord, we pray. For the kingdom of God's sake. Grant it, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We appreciate all of you this morning. What a privilege it is for us to be here in Johnson City with you all and the church here, and I guess Elizabethton, but we're close enough, but we're sure happy to be here. I want to greet the Wades. I forgot to do that last night. Rebecca will get me if I don't say hello to you all. But no, she won't. I'm just kidding. But it's sure good to see you. And Charlie and Sue back there and the saints back there that were with us in Arkansas. May the Lord bless you all and all of you this morning. We're happy you're here. And if you came this morning to hear Brother Donnie, then I'm sorry. You wouldn't have heard him anyways because he was supposed to be in Arkansas. But the sickness took him and he had to stick around. So, but I'm glad he did. At least I get to see him today and fellowship with him a little bit. So we're thankful to the Lord. But we greet you from our family, from Sister Loretta and Sherry and the rest of the LaFontaine crew, and also from Brother Joseph and the Believer's Tabernacle there in Murfreesboro. And we certainly are happy to be here today representing them and also our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I appreciate you and I love you. And had several thoughts this morning on my mind to come with, and I wasn't sure which direction to go. There's so many wonderful things to preach about. You just wonder what's the mind of God for this morning. You know, what do I say this morning now? Once that first service is under your belt, you feel pretty good, but then you wonder what next, Lord? You know. So I've just told you, I've chosen a simple thought this morning, and I'm just going to title this, and this, it probably won't be very lengthy, but I just want to title this, Christianity Is. Christianity Is. And I'd like to just take a look at what Christianity is, basically. We call ourselves Christians.
Yes.
How many Christians are here this morning? Okay. And I thought, well, it'd be nice to know, take a good look at what a real Christian is then. If we're going to call ourselves that, we need to have some kind of representation in our life. And so the question at hand this morning is, are you a Christian? I know there was a news commentator some years back by the name of Paul Harvey. He had a news commentary all the time, and he, on his newscast one day, he made this statement. He asked this question. He said, if you got arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence against you to convict you? Let me say it again, just in case you missed that. If you got arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence against you to convict you? That's really a thought. Now I'm going to lay just a little foundation here, but when Christ came into the world some 2,000 years ago, there were different religious groups that were on the earth at the time that he was When he was born, there was three major ones that I know of were the Jews, and then there were the Samaritans, and then there were the Herodians. Those were three of the major religious groups that were here on planet Earth at that time. The Jews, of course, speaking of Judah or Judaism or Jewish, meaning belonging to the Jews, as respect to birth and race and things of that nature, they were Jews by birth. So among this group of Jews, then there were a few different groups of them. Two major ones was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Everybody's heard about them. I'm sure you've all heard about them. So there were these major groups then that were among them, and then of course there was other ones that were there too. But these two groups in particular took all the credit just about for being what the Jewish race represented at that time. And so we want to look just a minute, if we can, at these two groups. And I'm just going to lay a foundation. I'm not Brother Donnie. So I ain't going to be preaching like Brother Donnie. I want you to know that right now. I used to. I used to do that. But something happened to me last year that I have never had happen to me in my life. And people tell me it'll never happen to you again, Brother John. I turned 70. And thank you. And so it kind of changes your stamina. You kind of cherish what you have and kind of guard it. So when I used to go like a Gatling gun, I could keep up with it pretty good. But then it got through the years, if I got up in the first 10, 15 minutes on my message and went like a Gatling gun, I had nothing left at the end, man. It was all done. That was it. So I've learned to just channel it little by little. And if you'll just listen, it'll come your way, and you'll say, wow, that was really good. We hope anyways. I'm glad God's got a flower garden, a bouquet, and I'm glad all preachers aren't the same. What kind of a thing would we have if all preachers were just the same? It'd be the same if all congregations were the same. If they were all the same, we'd only need one pastor for the whole world. We might as well be Catholic. Sorry to say that, but hey. We are, as far as Universal Church, but we're glad for God's ministry. Glad for what it represents. And I don't look at myself like much anymore. I'm just kind of an old shoe, I call myself. Ain't much to look at, but when you get me on, I'm comfortable. See, so. I like old shoes. Matter of fact, I got a pair I can't throw away. They just look terrible. But every time I put them on, I just think all the wonderful times we've had together. No. And moving right along. Let's look at the Pharisees as we start this out this morning, and I trust the Lord will just bless us together as we look at this. I want to read from from Acts chapter 22, and I want to read from verse 8. Psalms 22 and verse 8, and it kind of depicts a little bit about 23 verse 8. I'm sorry, 23 verse 8. Kind of depicts this two groups of Sadducees and Pharisees. And it says here, in Acts 23 and 8, it says, "For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angels nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both." Yes. So we're looking at now, first of all, the Pharisees, who, if we could say it this way now, knowing that scripture, if we could say it this way, they believed in the resurrection. They believed in angels. They believed in the spirit. So we could see they were fair. You see, they did believe a little bit. All right. So as we look at them this morning, and I'm reading from the Greek encyclopedia here a little bit. It said the Pharisees were a religious party or a school among the Jews at the time of Christ. The word means separated. The chief sects among the Jews were the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Essenes, E-S-S-E-N-E-S, who may be described respectively as formalists, freethinkers, and Puritans. The Pharisees, as we look at them now this morning, it goes on to say the fundamental principle of the Pharisee. common to them with all Orthodox modern Jews is that by the side of the written law, regarded as the summary of the principles and general laws of the Hebrew people, there was an oral law to complete and to explain the written law given to Moses on Mount Sinai, transmitted by him by word of mouth. I want you to look at this Pharisaical group. They had their own set of laws, oral laws, that they put in alongside the word of God to explain it and to tell you what it means to complete it. I want to tell you this morning, that same spirit exists today. And it comes right in the ranks of this message. Pharisees that want to give their own interpretation to what the message means, because they don't think we're smart enough, I guess, to get it directly from the prophet, so they've got to add their things into it. That spirit hasn't died. It hasn't left. It's still right here among us today. My. Even though the word says it's of no private interpretation, they decided they were going to give their own interpretation. So it is a summary of the principles and general laws of the Hebrew people. There beside it, there's that's oral law, and it's to complete and to explain the written law given by Moses. The first portion of the Talmud or Mishnah or second law contains this oral law. It is a digest of Jewish traditions and a compendium of the whole ritual law, and came at length to be esteemed far above the sacred text. Oh God. They would rather you believe what they say this means than what it perhaps might mean. I've watched that spirit. I've seen it in the church. I've seen it in the pulpit. I've seen it come to a place that they've got their own ideas and their own interpretation. And I want you to know something. I love this message with all my heart. And I don't need any private interpretation of it. I don't need anybody to come along and tell me what it means or it doesn't mean, or you don't need it anymore, and this is that and that's that. I know what I know, what I know by the grace of God. It was a revelation when God spoke to my heart and said, that's my prophet, that's Elijah, hear ye him. He told me that. He with a capital H. Amen. Told me this message was the truth. Amen. You ain't going to take it away from me. I've raised my family in it. I believe it's the best thing on planet Earth. I love it with all my heart, and I'm thankful for it. And I don't need no Pharisee to come along and tell me different. Hallelujah. I love him, don't you? Amen. Now, I believe we need a revelation. I believe we need a revelation of the message. I believe we need to know that. Because if we don't have a revelation, we could be shaken. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So you better know what you believe and know why you believe it. The next group was the Sadducees, and of course we read it in Acts 23 there, where the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, they didn't believe in angels, they didn't believe in the spirit realm, so they were sad, you see. The Sadducees, they did have this going, and I appreciate this group. The Sadducees, meaning the righteous, was a religious party at the time of Christ among the Jews who denied that the oral law was a revelation of God to the Israelites. Thank God. See? Of course, they were very religious. They were very pious, though. They're the ones that could take that pen and stick it in any part of that scroll. When any scripture you listed, they knew that word backwards and forward. They could quote it from end to end. But they still didn't know who Jesus was. They still didn't have a revelation of the word for that day, even though they were very religious. But they had this principle. They denied that the oral law was a revelation of God to the Israelite, and who deemed that the written law alone to be obligatory on the nation as the divine authority. So they were totally opposite of that Pharisee group when it come to that oral law. But the sad part about it is both of these groups missed Jesus when he came. Even though they were the religious power of that day, they missed John. And if you miss John, who was the forerunner of his first coming, you miss the one that he was called to introduce. If you miss John, you miss Jesus. And if you miss the forerunner of this end time, the second forerunner of Christ, you're going to miss the Christ of this age. You're going to miss the power of this message that God has sent in this generation. The other group that was on the earth were the Samaritans. One of the other groups, second group, was the Samaritans. And Brother Branham best explains it here in Sirs. We would see Jesus, Newark, New York, in 1957. He said, now on the road going down to Jerusalem to Jericho, he said he went right down straight. But he had need to go by Samaria. Now the Samaritans was half Jew, half Gentile. They were the mixed bunch of people outside of the camp. If you ever saw a picture of the tabernacle, they got the 12 tribes are camped around three on each side of the tabernacle. Out beyond that is the mixed multitude that lived there. They were the Samaritans. There was the Herodians that lived back then too. This is the third religious group that was there during the time of Jesus' birth. The Herodians that were there come from the word of heroic, which the daughter of Astrobulus and granddaughter of Herod the Great. She was first married to Herod Philip, remember? And then she divorced him and married his brother. And that's how John got his head cut off. When he came there and pointed this prophet's finger in her face and said, it's unlawful to you to have your brother's wife. That didn't set well, so he got thrown in prison. And so he goes on to say, she was first married to Herod Philip, the first son of Herod the Great, a man of a private life, but afterwards formed an unlawful union with Herod Antipas, who she induced not only to slay John the Baptist, but also to make a journey to Rome, which ruined him, and good thing she followed him. So it also ruined her too. Now, these religious groups, basic groups and political groups that lived during that time of Christ, they all missed John. They couldn't stand John because he was outside of their group. Hard to accept people that aren't one of us. Hard to listen to somebody that's not part of our group. Well, is that brother in the message, that book you're reading or not? Hard to take somebody outside this message. You need to listen to all the books the prophet read. Hello? Could you imagine? I don't listen to anybody but my pastor. If they're not in the message, if they're not a headliner in the conventions, I don't have any time for them. How would you like to get a message from a donkey? Hello. Listen, God can use whoever he wants. I've had little children minister to me. I've had relatives that were unsaved minister to me. I'm serious. I've had them say things to me. I've had people cross my path that looked at me and said something that triggered something in my heart and said, oh, God, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. We've got to be open to the will of God and the word of God and follow the leadership of God. They all missed John's ministry and did not accept Christ when he came, yet the coming of the Lord was prophesied all the way back to the book of Genesis. There was no excuse, there was no reason for anyone to miss it. All the way back in Genesis 3, verse 15, it says this, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed."
Amen.
So don't tell me the serpent didn't have a seed. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed," the serpent's seed, "and her seed." Wow. Somebody said, "Well, I don't believe in that serpent seed. That doctrine's of the devil." That's what we're trying to tell you. That's exactly what it is. It's of the devil. That's where it came from. That's how it all got started. Hallelujah. That serpent. We're going to blame him now. See? "So I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That's the first promise of the coming of Christ, the woman's seed. Mr. Schofield says it like this in his footnote there in part two. He said, "The first promise of a redeemer," verse 15, "here begins the highway of seed. Abel, Seth, Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Judah, David, Emmanuel, Christ." All of the scriptures were pointing to his coming. Isaiah 7 and 14, I'll just give you a few of them here as we go on. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which we know being interpreted as God with us. And then Isaiah 9 and 6, we love this scripture. It said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." How many believe he's wonderful this morning? Counselor, how many believe he's a great counselor this morning? Amen. The mighty God. Well, wait a minute. Hold phone. The mighty God? We're talking about Jesus here. What about the Father, the mighty God? The Father. What about him? And then the next one says, the everlasting Father. You know, I feel sorry for the Trinitarian folks. I really do. How are they going to put all this together? This one, this son that's coming, this son that's going to be born, this one, this child that's coming, the government's going to be upon his shoulders. His name's Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, what they don't realize, there's just one God. It's all one. He was a Father above the people. He was a Son in the people, with the people, and he's the Holy Ghost in the people today. It's just one God in three offices, three manifestations that's going to come. Amen. I love him today, don't you? Appreciate him. All right. And then he goes on to say in Matthew 1, we know this scripture very well. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise," verse 18, "when as his mother Mary was espoused unto Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Hold the phone. Of the Holy Ghost? I thought the Father was the Father of the Son. If the Father is not the Father of the Son, and the Holy Ghost is the Father of the Son, what happened? It can be very confusing if God doesn't give you a revelation of the Godhead. You need a revelation of the Godhead, friend. You need to know what was going on. Amen. "She was found with child of the Holy Ghost, and Joseph, her husband," verse 19, "being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife." Remember, they were only spouses. They were only engaged. Listen, young people, God looks at it like a marriage. Don't you make those commitments. Don't you walk down that road until you know that you know that you know that you know that's the one you're supposed to have. Nothing wrong with friendship, nothing wrong with companionship, but there is something wrong with getting engaged with the wrong woman, the wrong man. That's that old shoe again showing off. Okay. "They're taken to thee, Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." God spoke his word into the womb of a virgin called Mary. Created the blood cell, created the egg that went in, done all that, and brought forth Jesus. And God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Are you with me? Verse 21 said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And all this was done that it might be fulfilled by the prophet spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us.
So who was he? Who is this one called Jesus? Who was this one that was born like this? All the scriptures written about him, all the things prophesying about him. Who is this Jesus? Let's just take a quick look at the scriptures. Do you mind me doing this one? Just, it's like a little lesson.
Okay.
A little lesson. We didn't have Sunday school, but we're having it now, okay? All right. Watch it. Let's just take a look at it. Let's go to John chapter 1:1. John 1:1. Let's find out who he is. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So who is he? He's a Word. And who is the Word? The same was in the beginning with God. The Logos. And he's God. Who is this Word? He's God. Not a God. He's the God. All right. Verse 3 said, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So he's the creator. He created all things were made by him. By this word, by this God that was manifested, this Logos. All things were created by him. So he's the word, he's God, he's the creator. Verse 4 said, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So now we find out that he's life and he's light. Wow. Word, God, Logos, creator, light, and life. That's who he is. And he doesn't stop there. Verse 14 said, and the Word, this Word we're talking about, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, we know that was Jesus, right? Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us. Is that correct? So he's Jesus. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now he's got grace and he's got truth on his side. So he's the Word, he's God, he's the Logos, he is the creator, he is the light and the life, he is now grace and truth. And he's Jesus. Because 1 Timothy 3:16 says it like this. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached in the Gentiles, believed on this world, and received up into glory. Who was that? It was Jesus. Hallelujah! He's all that and more, church. So why did he come? What was his purpose in coming here?
Well, it was to make us happy.
Well, if that's the reason he came, you need to notify your face. Some of you look like the cruise director on the Titanic.
We're going down.
Hello! Let's go to John 10. Let's go to John 10. We're going to go through a few scriptures here and just look at why he came. All right? John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So why did he come? He came to give us life, not just life, abundant life. Are you happy? Notify your face. This is good stuff. Came to give us life. That's why he came. And more abundant life. John 8:36. John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He came to give you life, more abundant life, and he came to make you free. Are you free? Listen, friends, this message did not come to bind us down. This message did not come as a bunch of laws of do's and don'ts and all this thing. This message came to set us free. I'm having the time of my life. I don't know about you. I'm free. And I'm happy. And if I can smile with teeth like this, you got no excuse.
You say, well, that's horrible. Those things are, they're mine. I own them. By the grace of God. I can't pull them out just because I look better. Even though I thought about it. It's just that I ain't got the money to do that. So. Came to set us free. Let's go to Colossians 2:13. Let's look at some more. Why did he come? Why did he come? Are you getting something out of this? A little bit out of this? Tonight? Why did he come? Colossians 2 verse 13 said this. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. That word quickened means to make one alive. I'm here to tell you this morning, God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He's alive. How do you know? I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him in my hand. I can feel him all over me. Because he's not dead. Look at, if I'm 70 years old, if I can act like this, what's your excuse? Watch this now. You hath he quickened, he said, together with him, and having forgiven you all your trespasses. That word trespasses means your sins and your faults. So he came to give you life, not just life, more abundant life. He came to set you free. He came to make you alive, and he came to forgive you. What a mighty God we serve, church. That he would do all of this for us. I love him. Colossians 2:14, as you go on and read through this, it said, blotting out. That word blot means to wipe away the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Those Pharisees stuck it in there. Which was contrary to us and took it out, nailing it to the cross. He got rid of the ordinances, the rules and the rituals and the regulations that were under that law that came. Hundreds of them. Came even under the law of Moses. Hundreds of them came into existence. My, my, my. He doesn't stop there. Verse 15 said, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He came to deliver us from those creeds and ordinances and traditions that were under the law. There were hundreds and hundreds of those little things. And Brother Branham said he only left 3 ordinances to the New Testament church. Out of the hundreds and hundreds of there, only 3 of them were carried over to the New Testament church. Water baptism, communion, and foot washing. That's the only 3. You think you're not free? You think you don't have a right to be happy? You got a right to be happy. You got a right to thank God. You don't have to go through all those rituals that the church had to go through back under that law. He came to set us free. If you go to Matthew 27 verse 50 and 51, Matthew 27 verse 50 and 51, he goes on to say, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks did rent. Not only did he come to do all the, he came to open up a way to make access for us to come into his presence 24/7 to pray without ceasing, knowing that God is on the throne and he would hear. He would hear our petition. He would hear our prayer. Oh my. Why did he come? Came to give life and life more abundantly. Came to set you free. Came to quicken you and forgive you. He came to get rid of all the ordinances. He came to deliver us from all these things. And he came to open up the way into the Holy of Holies so that we could come into the presence of him himself. We don't have to go through a potentate. We don't have to go through a pope. We don't have to go through a pastor. We don't have to go through a cardinal or bishop. We can come directly to the throne of God with our petitions. Hallelujah. I love him, don't you? So then what is Christianity? Christianity is, that's the text. What is Christianity then? We want to go back to our text here. We read it in Acts 11:26 when it said, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. I want to look at this word Christian just a minute, because we cherish it. We're proud that we're Christians. How many's proud you're a Christian? Amen? Sure. But it wasn't a good name back then. When they gave him that name back then, they gave it to him because they couldn't think of any worse name to give him than somebody that was like that Christ. Somebody like was like that one that was outside the camp, that didn't belong to any of their religious group, that came there teaching all those things and bringing all those doctrines and things of that nature. And they said, we don't know what to do. We took note that they've been with Jesus, and we know that they're just like he is. They're raising the dead. They're healing the sick. They're doing all these kinds of things. So we don't know anything to say unto them except they're Christians. That's what they are. They're Christians. They're just like him. There goes one of them. He's just like him. There she goes. She's just like him. There he is. He's just like him. That Donnie Reagan is just like him. I don't know what to do with that guy. He's just like him. Oh, thank God. I hope that's all they got to say about us, is that we're just like him. I want to be that way. They were considered renegades, rebels, and they were just, it wasn't a good name. But they had no other name. They saw they did the same thing he did. The same works that he did, they did. The Greek word for Christian is a follower of Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to be that. In a message called Redemption by Power up here in Louisville, 1954, Brother Branham said, to be a Christian means to be Christ-like. To go no place you wouldn't want to be if Christ would come. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Go no place you wouldn't want to be if Christ should come. Say nothing you wouldn't want to be saying when Christ comes. Do nothing you wouldn't want to be doing when Christ comes. Think nothing you wouldn't want to be thinking when Christ comes. When I looked at that quote, my mind went back to the late 1990s when there was a fad that went through the earth here in America. And there was bracelets and t-shirts and things. Everybody was wearing it. It was WWJD. You could see it all over the place. Christians wore them. Non-Christians wore them. Politicians wore them. Celebrities wore them. Movie stars wore them. WWJD. What would Jesus do? And I thought, there God is testifying to the whole world. Jesus is still the answer. Right in the midst of all their sin and corruption and all their movie star nonsense, comes this little bracelet. This is, what would Jesus do? You know, most people, it's just a fad. But to a true believer, it says, oh God, I want to be careful now. I won't say nothing or do nothing that wouldn't be right, Lord. I don't even want to think nothing, because your thoughts speak louder on earth than your actions do. Think about it now. I want to be what he wants me to be. WWJD. And then he goes on to say, keep your one motive, your heart centered on Calvary. Walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1:7. Walk in the light as he is in the light. It does not say walk in the light as he is the light. We know he's the light. He said, I'm the light of the world. But walk in the light as he is in the light. What light is he in? Is he in Luther's day light? Is he in Wesley day's light? The Pentecostal light? Or is he in the revealed word of truth in this very light of the day? Walk in the light as he is in the light, and you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Two things happen when you walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, you can't get warm by a painted fire. If you're walking out here somewhere that he's not in anymore, you got to walk where he is. And if you're walking in that light, two things happen. You have true fellowship, and you've got blood that cleanses. If you're not walking where he's walking, there's no blood cleansing you, and there's no true fellowship. Walk in the light as he is in the light. In a message called Why in Southgate, California, 62, he said, a Christian is to be Christ-like. Christ-like means to believe the word. If you don't believe the word, then you can't be Christ-like. How can you say that you're a Christian and you deny half of the word? If the Holy Ghost wrote the word and the Holy Ghost confirms the word and the Holy Ghost is the word and the Holy Ghost abiding in you brings God's promises to every believer. Message called The Absolute in Shreveport. He said, but the Christian means Christ-like. And the only way you can be Christ-like is for Christ the Word to be in you. That's the ultimate. That's what I want. That's what I'm longing for. That's what I need. I need that Word living in me. So what is Christianity? Christianity is what? In a message called A Man Running from the Presence of God in Jeff in 1965, he said, how wishy-washy. That's what too many Christians are today. They're so soft-soaped and everything until they just think that all they got to do is join the church and go somewhere and put their name on the book and do a little something, jump up and down like that and shout a little bit like that and call it Christianity. Christianity is an everyday rugged life. It's living for God in this present world. It is a constant burning of the fire of the love of God in the heart that sets you afire and puts you out yonder with the people making converts to Christ. When you get over there, will there be any stars in your crown? I want to challenge you this morning. How many people have you led to the Lord? How many people have come to Christ because of you? Because that's what a Christian is. He's a witness. He's somebody that is exemplifying the life of Jesus Christ so that when others look, they see Christ and not you. And they get thirsty and they want what you got. Are you a Christian? Is there enough evidence against you to convict you? The whole basis of Christianity is based upon the fundamentals of an empty tomb. Hello? There's all kinds of religions in the world. The Muhammads, the Buddhists, the Hindus, Confucius. But a man talked about the sheiks and the Jains and all them over there in Africa. But they're all dead. Their leaders are all dead. You can go to their tomb. You can visit their tomb. They're still there. Even though Muhammad has the white horse waiting at his tomb, waiting for his resurrection, as of yet he hasn't come alive. But you go to Jerusalem today. You go over there in the hills of Jerusalem and you look because there's an empty tomb. The tomb now is empty. The stone's been rolled away. And Christ is alive in my heart. Thank God, church. He's not dead. He is alive. He's here this morning, right in this service with us. Hallelujah. I love him, don't you? Christianity, I'm going to give some quotes now. These are direct quotes from the prophet. He said, Christianity is a practice, it's a life. I added to it, it's a walk, it's a talk. It's the presence of the living God living in you. Christianity is a living being in mankind. Colossians 1, 26 and 27 said it like this, even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. How does your Bible read this morning? I'm not talking about this book. I'm talking about this book. Because believe it or not, you're the only Bible some people will ever read. They'll never pick up God's black book, but they'll read you like a book. Your neighbors, your associates, your friends, your relatives, they're going to read you like a book. They're going to watch you like a hawk because you have confessed that you believe in Christ. That you're a Christian. And now they're watching to see if the proof is there. They're watching to see if you're going to live that way. Mr. Guest, Editor Guest, coined the poem. You heard me read it before. I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. I can soon learn how to do it. If you let me see it done, I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast can run. Though I may not understand you in the fine advice you give, there is no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. Say what you want to say. What's your life say? Oh, God. I want to be faithful. Brother Bannon goes on to say, I think Christianity is orderly. And Paul came and set the church in order, and all things were done in decency and in order. And I believe God honors it more when we keep it orderly and under the power of the Holy Spirit to be the leader of the church and of the people. You might be a moral character. You might be a moral character and all of that. But brother, that still ain't Christianity. Christianity is when the Holy Ghost has taken full possession of you. Are you listening, church? When the Holy Ghost has taken full possession of you and you are led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. What would Jesus do? See? Leaders of the church and of the people. You might be a moral Christian and all of that, but brother, that's silly Christianity. Christianity is when the Holy Ghost has taken full possession. Are you a Christian? The principle of Christianity is the condition of the heart towards God. Christianity is a sacrificed life. It is a hidden life. The prophet said in a message called The Rising of the Sun, he made this quote. He said, I'm afraid today too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to a church or to a theory, but we're not getting them to Christ. Oh, God. I love this message with all my heart. And I love the message churches, and I love to be in them. I love to sit, and I love to fellowship. But going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Coming to Happy Valley Church here in this valley does not make you a believer. Hello! You got to have that personal relationship with Him, and He's got to be sitting on the throne of your heart. And if He's not, you need to hit the altar this morning. Because you've been deceived and misrepresented some way. You need to get your heart right with God more than you need anything else in this world. Amen. That's what it is. Christianity comes by birth. And when you're born again of the Spirit of God and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, all things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You can dress like it and walk like it and talk like it, but that ain't it, church. Christianity is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not some man-made theory, not some denomination, but it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that sets every organ in that church working in order. My disciples, when you have love one for another, by this shall you know the love of God in your hearts. That went well. That's what the world will know, that we're Christians. That's when we would know that we're brother and sister, is when we have love one for another. See? That's the mark of Christianity, is the love one for another. And when we get that, then God will begin to work among us and bring us milk and honey and things. Milk and honey and things. That's that sweet God, sweet Jesus. He said Christianity Christianity is the only one that can point you to an empty tomb and open up the heart and say, He lives here. I want people, when they look at me, to see Christ. I don't want them to see John LaFontaine. I want them to see Jesus Christ. I want to exemplify His walk, His talk, His life. I want to be what He would have me to be. He said Christianity is not hot, is not babied. Christianity is rugged. It's Christianity is not a hotbed plant. A hotbed plant is a hybrid plant mostly, and you have to spray it all the time and keep the bugs off it and all that. That's because of its weaknesses. And that's the way you have to do a lot of Christians today. It's kind of spray them with a little bit. Lots of promises. Hello? That's what you have to do, is spray them a little bit. Got to handle them with kid gloves. Got to feed them milk like a baby. It's okay what you do. Don't worry about it. God loves everybody. You need to take that spray and throw it away. It's lying to you. I'll tell you what, you can get a hold of the wrong spray sometimes. When I was a teenager growing up, Brother Donnie, I used Brill Cream all the time. I love Brill Cream. A little dab will do you, you know. Keep your hair right. I love that stuff until I tasted it one morning. I got up and brushed my teeth with it. I did. Got a hold of the wrong tube. Brushed my teeth with Brill Cream and put toothpaste in my hair. And I wasn't even old then. I was a teenager. But I learned that all sprays are not the same, and all toothpaste is not the same, and all Brill Cream is not the same. And that spray they're trying to spray you with, telling you you're living okay, don't worry about it. You got to know that's a lie from the pit of hell. You got to run from that thing, man. There ain't but one spray. That's the Holy Ghost living in your life, sitting on the throne of your heart, making you what you ought to be. It'll make you love everybody. Hello? Make you love everybody? Like I said last night, it'll correct all those things if you just set yourself free by forgiveness. I text Sherry this morning, said, I still don't know what I'm going to preach. Pray for me. She texted me back and said, just go ahead and preach the same one you did last night. I need it. And I was going to do that, but she's at church, so she wouldn't hear it anyways. No, the power of forgiveness. We need to live this Christian life. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, we need to be what it is. Don't be deceived. Don't sit here and be miserable and say, well, I don't like the way things are here in this church, but it's a messy church and I've got to go to it. No, you don't. Go somewhere else and be miserable. We don't need misery here. We're trying to have love and joy and peace and happiness. Oh, is that okay? I hope that's okay. I forgot he was over there. Because misery loves company, and pretty soon somebody's going to come along and have a face longer than yours. Aren't you going to be a good company with each other? How are you doing? I'm not doing very good. I ain't doing very good either. Well, let's not do very good together then. All right, watch. I'm coming down to an end here. Christianity is not baby. Christianity is rugged. Christianity is misrepresented to the people. Christianity has been misrepresented to people as a declaration of a creed. Christianity is a living being. Jesus Christ, the resurrected God, that's alive and among us now. Christianity is a person. Not a creed. To know Him is life. Not to know this message. Not to know the word frontwards and backwards and quoted every way you want to call it. You've got to know Him, the person of the Word. And that's that God that's alive among His people. Christianity is a person, not a creed. To know Him is life. Not even to know His Word. That isn't life. That's what Brother Ram said. That isn't life. To know Him. And He is the Word. We have so many different forms of it that we call Christianity, but there's only one Christianity. Christianity is not a denomination. Christianity is not a group of people. Christianity is a person that's Christ. And you are His subject. And now we believe that He is alive. He raised from the dead. We believe that He is living in our heart. It's an everyday rugged life. Now, as I'm winding down, this message that God has sent in this age, this message is not a creed. This message is a living being. This message is Christ. This message is not a set of rules. It's not a bunch of laws of do this and don't do this. And if that's all this message is to you, you've missed the whole meaning of what's going on here. This message is not a set of laws. This message is not a dress code. Hello? Coming to a message church doesn't make you a Christian. You've heard me say it before. If that's the case, then maybe going in the garage will make you an automobile. Or maybe going in the forest would make you a tree. Just because you come to church, it doesn't make you a Christian. You become a Christian because Christ, the person of the Word, comes in your heart and sits on the throne and takes control. That's what Christianity is. That's what the life of Jesus Christ is. That's what it's all about. Not some dress code. This message is a person. It's Christ. We got many people living the style of the message today, or the dress code of the message, thinking in their minds that they're Christians because they don't do certain things and they dress a certain way and they look a certain way. Let me tell you something. If Christ is not alive in your heart, you're as dead can be. And if you don't change that, you're going to split hell wide open. You need an experience with Jesus Christ, and you need it yesterday. Well, how much time I got? Time's ran out. You don't have no time. You're deader than a doornail, friend, if you ain't got Christ in your heart. I don't care how you look and how you dress and how you act, thinking that you're in the message because you do that, but never met Christ the Word. Just as I close, Christianity is not. Some quotes. Said, I'm sorry that they debate these things, but Christianity is not a debate. This is not up for debate. This is thus saith the Lord. You can't stand there and say, well, I beg to differ with you. You can beg all you want, but you differ with me all you want, but you ain't going to differ with this word. It's thus saith the Lord. Christianity is not something, God's not one, for example, that you have to beg or cry or plead or fast or starve and everything like that to get it. Christianity is not just the saints, well, I'll go over here to church because I know that's my duty. That's not Christianity, brother. No. Christianity is not a bluff. And I would add, it's not a duty. It's something that is real. Amen. Sirs, we would see Jesus, the last quote. He said, and God humbles himself. God is humility. And a man that can humble himself is on his road up, and he that exalts himself is on his road down, always. So we must remember that Christianity is not pushing ahead, not trying to get ahead of this fellow, but stepping back and taking the back seat. The question is this morning, are you a Christian? If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence against you to convict you? Or are you sitting here this morning pretending to be something you're not? I want you to bow your heads with me. Musicians can come. Think about this morning. I don't want to just let this go. Are you just pretending? Are you just dressing the part because your friends or your family or your parents or your peers are doing it? What would Jesus do? What about your heart? Is it right with God? And while you're here in the quietness of the Holy Spirit, before we change the order here and close the service out, I wonder if you're sitting here this morning and your heart's not right with God, and you know it, and you need prayer this morning. You slip your hand up and say, Brother John, I need prayer this morning. Would you pray for me? God bless you. I don't do it unless something's not right there, see? God bless you. God bless you. I'm talking about sinners now. I'm talking about people, God bless you, sir, that need Christ in your life. A few hands, that's wonderful. Then let me just give you a little bit of advice. If I were you, I would slip out of your seat right now. And I would come to this altar and I would kneel. And I would ask God to forgive me. And I would ask Him to come into my life and be Lord of my life. I wouldn't hesitate. I wouldn't wait. And I certainly wouldn't go out the doors back there unless I had done that. So while we pray, would you come this morning? Heavenly Father, committing this service into your hands now, dear Lamb of God, I don't know what else to do, Lord. I don't know how else to say it or how else to bring it about. But, oh, Lamb of God, touch your people this morning, Lord. And if there are hearts here, God, that aren't right with you, Lord, it's a matter of life and death. Time's running out. We don't know when the last one will come in. We don't know when it all wrap up and when it'll end, Lord. It could be today. It could be in the morning. We just don't know. But, Lord, we don't want to miss it. I pray, God, if people need you this morning, they'll come forward. Brother Branham said, Lord, the prophet said, coming to the altar is a type of coming to Christ. And, Lord, he that cometh to me, you said, I will in no wise cast out. Dear Lamb of God, touch every heart and every life here today, God. Forgive me my sins and my trespasses, Lord. There's things in my life, Lord, like I try to pray every time before I come to these pulpits to minister. If there's anything, Lord, in my life that's displeasing to you, dear Lamb of God, forgive me. I don't want anything in my heart or anything in my life, Lord. I want to be what you would have me to be. Grant it, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. While these are praying around the altar, maybe some other deacons or trustees could come and pray with them. A couple of us up here. If there's anyone else that needs to come, please don't be embarrassed. This is life and death. This is serious stuff we're talking about this morning. If you need to come and pray, you come and pray. Appreciate these brothers coming. Praying with ease. And this morning. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him, oh God. I want to be like You, Lord. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long. Let's stand together. To be like Him. All through life's journey. From earth to glory. Let it be your prayer now as Brother Donnie comes this morning. Let it be your prayer. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long. Touch Jesus. Touch Him, God. I pray and be with Him. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Life and death, surrendering their hearts, Lord. Surrendering their heart. I want to be like you, Lamb of God. Touch Him today, God. I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Bless Him, God. I pray. To be
prayer. Let it be your prayer today. Oh, make me more like Thee. Jesus, make me more like Thee. Your desire this morning? Amen. God bless you. We love you. Appreciate you. Please, please forgive us for not coming back to the back. I love y'all. I just love to shake hands with everybody, but I can't take anything back with me that's not mine. And Mama wouldn't like that, but I do love you all. I appreciate you. Y'all can come and visit us over in where we live, Murfreesboro. Yeah. Just don't all come at once. Love you, praying for you, praying for our precious brother Donnie. Come on, brother. God bless you this morning. Love you all. God bless you.
I hate buying new shoes. I'm very picky when it comes to the kind of shoes I can wear. Always been that way as a sense of child. Socks the same way. The way them little seams is made across them toes. I put them on one time. If they don't fit, you know where they go? Garbage. I don't care if Carol just bought them yesterday. I will not keep them. I refuse. So I really like shoes that are comfortable. You understand? I've got some old shoes down in the basement that probably some of y'all, if you'd look at them, you'd say, poor old feller. Don't pity me. I keep them because I like them. Because they feel good. You know, you just put your foot right down in there. I appreciated the word. Didn't you this weekend? I really did. All my heart. I don't mind telling you, we got a place in this pulpit for shoes like that. Amen. Truth like that, my friends, I think needs to be spoken. Not only spoken, but heard and responded to. Now, I've been a Christian most of my life. Many of you have. Do I believe there's enough evidence against me to convict me? I'm convinced of it. I've been convicted for years, but I'd like to have more. I don't doubt many of you didn't raise your hand today because you wasn't a sinner. You wasn't lost. So it wasn't like that you needed Christ in your life initially. But I'm sure if our brother would have asked, how many of you would like to have more evidence against you? More love, more mercy, more of the attributes. There you go. Me too. Because most of you, many of you are born again. You've passed from death unto life. But yet you know there's a higher place for you in God. Aren't you glad the gospel comes to speak to us in that way? We're going to read a couple of prayer requests here before we pray. Sister Ruth Edkins had to leave the service today sick. And also Brother Lewis said his daughter Amy Henley had to have some injections in her back last night and in a lot of pain. And we're going to pray for them. Now, and I want to pray first those of us that lifted our hands just now, that God will help this evidence and this fruit to grow in our lives. And there will be even more to convict us about. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, we bring these requests before you now, Lord. Sister Ruth, Lord Jesus, that had to leave the service. We're praying for your help to her, Father. We know there's so many things that's going on. So many different types of infections and sickness and so on, Lord. And we're just asking for our sister. We're not sure exactly what it is, but Jesus, you know. We pray for Amy Henley, Lord, that the situation in her back, having to have these injections and this pain that's involved with it, Father. I pray that you would just touch her, Lord. It's one of the reasons that you came to the earth, as our brother brought to us today. Then, Lord, all over this building, there was hands, hundreds of hands that was uplifted. No doubt different people that were streaming the service as well. Because they're Christians. They love you. They're born again. But they want more evidence. More godliness. More purity. More of your love. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd grant that to be so in each of our lives. To us, this is not something we do once or twice a week or two or three times a month. It is our life. Lord, your prophet said that Christianity, it's a rugged life, and it's a life that you do not live by yourself, but someone else is living it through you. We are grateful that we know who that someone is today, Lord. May we grow in the grace of God. Make us more like you, dear Jesus, I pray. And the saint said,
amen.
Praise God. That means it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Can we just give the Lord another hand as we worship? Praise the Lord. So thank God for his great truth today. Harry, let's sing something together as we go. Remember all those that are sick, and so many different things that are going around among the people. The Lord doesn't promise us that we won't catch these things, but he does promise us he'll deliver us. And I'd like to shake all y'all's hands, so I'll just do it at a distance. How's that? Me and Carol's been sitting on opposite ends of the couch this week. So she'll wave over at me every now and then, and I'll wave over at her, and she'll blow me a kiss, and I'll blow her one. Boy, somehow it just ain't the same, though. So until we're all better, God bless you all. Amen. Everybody loves him with all your heart. Thank God. Let's sing something here together before we go. So appreciate you so much.
I need more.
Yes. Sing it now.
That's the way it's got to be.
Yes, Lord.
I need more of you.
More of you, Jesus.
Till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now. From the start to the finish, I need more of
you. God bless you, saints, born the fear of God.
I need more
of
you, Jesus. Jesus, I need more of you.
Amen.
In me.
I need more of you.
That's the way it's got to be. Left in me. All those wasted hours and men, they're yours now. From the start to the finish, I need more of you. I need more of you. Jesus, I need more. It's got to be more of you. Till there's no room left in me. I could never get enough of your grace, your warmth and your.